الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. If you look at the rules of the world, in general, the principle is that a human being gets what he deserves. And in fact, all of us, when we judge instances, we judge according to that principle. So for example, if there's a man, he has not been blessed with strong intellect, and that person gets into some very high-level graduate school, everybody's shocked. Everybody will be shocked. They'll say, that person, he was so stupid. And he's sitting in this high-level graduate school. What's the issue? Where is the discrepancy? There must be some issue going on here. So because the concept of deservedness doesn't match up in that particular situation, we become very perplexed. Similarly, if there's a man, he's not very business astute, but he becomes very rich and he purchases a big house and he has nice cars, and you know the person personally and he never had the ability to do business properly, you become shocked. And you'll tell other people, you'll say, that man, he doesn't even know how to you know, add up 25 pennies. And the same man, he's so successful in business, what's going on here? There must be some issue. And that's actually how the world works. We expect that the hardest working person and that the most deserving person should be the one that should receive the reward. Right? And in fact, that's what drives our life. When we go to school and we put in extra time to get the best grades that we can, we expect that for that extra time, for that extra effort, because of those higher grades, we'll get some higher position, whether it be in graduate school or whether it be in the job that we seek. And if it doesn't happen, we complain. So, in our minds, this concept of deservedness is very linked. People who get things should be the ones who deserve them. And people who get things when they don't deserve it, it shocks us. And actually, if you keep that principle in mind, that helps you to really appreciate what this month is all about. Now, Islamically, this is Rabiul Awwal. I spent the first half, 20, 30 minutes talking about the fifth behind Rabiul Awwal. But actually, the real issue behind Rabiul Awwal is an issue of deservedness. In every other aspect of our life, we can probably come up with a way in which we deserve the blessings that we obtain. I mean, if you have a nice job, you can go back and say, I went to a nice school, I worked hard, I put in my time, I got my job. When you get your paycheck, you can sit back and you can say, I worked for 40 hours, this is why I have my paycheck. Every single thing in your life, you can tie back into this issue of deservedness and say, I deserved it because I did such and such and so and so. Except one thing. And that's being in the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fact that we are Muslim, the fact that on our tongues comes the name Allah, the fact that we're sitting in this masjid and praying and worshipping the supreme being of the universe has nothing to do with deservedness. In fact, there is nothing that you've ever done in the history of your existence that you can tie in and say, I deserve to be following the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What can you say? I mean, if you look back at your life, it's mistake after mistake. Yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is so infinite that He continues to draw us to His door. I mean, any one of us can make I can raise 500 reasons why we should not be in the masjid today. 500 things I did from the time I woke up this morning to this point in my day why I should not have the tawfiq to be in this masjid, but there's only one reason why I'm here. It's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only reason why I ended up here. I'm sitting before you speaking. I can smile and shake your hands and nobody looks upon me with a negative attitude. Because Allah has covered all of my sins. But imagine, if Allah were to post our sins on our shoulders, do you think any of us would be able to walk into the masjid here today? If Allah really showed people how our minds work and what we think and what we look at when we're out in the street,
and the negative ideas that we have about other people, do you think anybody, anyone in creation could stand up in the masjid before people today? Is there an issue of deservedness? It doesn't make any sense. In the issue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, there's no deservedness. It's all based on whom He chooses. And that's exactly the maqam of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This whole concept of deservedness is what confused the generations before us. They realized that there was Allah. And they were even willing to accept the oneness of Allah. And you go through the stories in the Quran of the previous prophets, the issue that they had was, why was this man chosen? He didn't deserve it. He's illiterate. He's not the most wealthy. He's not the highest of status. He doesn't deserve to be the messenger of Allah. And that's where the mistake occurred. They tried to apply the principle of deservedness, which they were applying to everything else within their life, in the issue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah does not work on deservedness. Allah works on His mercy. And that's why all of us are here today. It's the same principle. The same principle that makes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the greatest of creation. The same principle that made the Prophets who they were is the exact same principle that allows us to worship Allah in His masjid today. It's His infinite mercy. It's that when He chooses something, there is no one that can question it. So Allah has chosen us to be in His presence, to be in His masjid, to come and worship Him, and it has nothing to do with what anybody did. And the same way, you have to be very careful, in the exact same opposite comparison, is when you see somebody that's distanced from Allah, it's not because of what they've done. In the end, it looks like it's because of what they've done, but the real reason is because Allah didn't give them the tawfiq. So how can you criticize them and say, why aren't they here? In the end, if you really understand what Allah is all about, it's all about the fact that Allah gave somebody the tawfiq and Allah didn't give another person the tawfiq. So when you see somebody that's distanced from Allah, in our heart the feeling should be, thank God. Thank Allah that He didn't make us like that. Because nothing that we did could have saved us should He decided that we would be there. If Allah decides to misguide someone, and the whole world comes together to guide that person, they can't be guided. And if Allah decides to guide somebody, and the whole world decides that they want to misguide that person, they can't be misguided. Why? Because in the end, it's the will of Allah. And that's what the issue is. That's what, if you want to think about something in this particular month, that's really what the issue is. Did you deserve to be who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you to be? There's no way anybody can give an answer to that question. It's impossible. And this is the reality that we have to understand. And this is why we don't criticize someone when they do something wrong. Now there's a difference between criticizing someone and criticizing the deed that they do. Criticizing the deed that they do is permissible, but criticizing that person is impermissible. So somebody does zina, okay? The zina that they did was wrong, but they themselves are still human beings. The same Allah that feeds them, that clothes them, that allows them to live on this world, is the same Allah that created them. So we have a problem with zina, but we realize that the zani, in the end, he did it because Allah was the one who created him, and that's what Allah decided for him. And this is how you'll see in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is how he dealt with people. One time a sahaba came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated him like a king. Like a king, and he was somebody who was, actually it wasn't even a sahaba, I think it was somebody who was not even a Muslim at that point. He was somebody who was the worst of the community. Whether it was a sahabi or whether it was not, probably that's not the issue. Somebody came who was not very respected among the other community members as being considered one of the worst in the community. And the Prophet ﷺ treated him like a king. Aisha radiallahu anha, when that person left, she questioned the Prophet ﷺ about that. And the Prophet ﷺ explained that this too is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the way the Prophet ﷺ used to look at people. So in our lives, there's two things we should realize. Number one is that none of us deserve to be where we are. It's only the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that brought us here. And number two is when people who are far from Allah Sometimes they didn't do what, sometimes they, it was not an issue of their, that, the fact that they deserve it. In fact, we know in hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that there are some people, they continue to do good deeds all the way up until the last moment before their death. And then they do something that puts them into kufr. And then there's another group of people that act out kufr their whole life, and they do something right before they die to become Muslim. So, no one knows. No one can judge another individual and know. But the only thing we do know is that everything is because of the mercy of Allah. The fact that we're here, the fact that we pray, the fact that we worship, the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was sent, and the fact that we're from the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. So in the end, the celebration of the Prophet ﷺ, his coming, his presence in the earth, and the legacy that he left is a celebration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Allah's will that allowed all of that to happen. It was Allah's creation of this individual that allowed that to happen. And it's Allah's tawfiq that allows us to follow the sunnah of that particular individual. So, in the end, when Allah is in control of everything, why not ask Allah when you need something? In fact, this is the whole concept. When we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ صَلَاةً, the whole concept is, you know, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Those three ayahs are establishing in the mind that Allah is everything. All praise is for Allah. Allah is Rahman. Allah is Rahim. Allah is Maliki Yawmiddin. Once you get that ingrained in your mind, there's nothing left to say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And that's the exact case if you want to remember anything that you've been given in this particular world. You just sit down and start thinking, did I deserve to be in the masjid? Did I deserve to have the beautiful name of Allah come from my tongue? Did I deserve to be in such a great community? Did I deserve to have the tawfiq to come and pray regularly? Did I deserve or ever do anything to become part of the ummah of the Prophet? And the answer is, you can't tie it in. Why? And the only thing that you can say is, Alhamdulillah. That's really what it boils down to. It's just the mercy of Allah. It's just a praise of Allah. It's just the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the actual take-home message. I mean, there's a whole fiqh behind it, there's a whole history behind it, but that's really the take-home message, is that it's all up to Allah. So, and that's why you have to have a habit of praising Allah. These salahs, you know, I mean, people say, oh, if you do this salah, you get this much, and you do that salah, and you get that much. And that's not the purpose of salah. The purpose of salah is Allah. In fact, there's a very famous story that there was this king. And the king was married to many wives. It's a long time ago. He had many wives. One wife he used to treat very special. He used to give her a little bit more. He used to give her a little bit more attention. He used to spend a little bit more time with her. And the other wives, they became jealous. So they went to the king and they said, what's special about this woman? We all have beauty. We all treat you properly. We all treat you with respect. Why is it that you give this woman a little bit more attention than you give the rest of us? He didn't give an answer. A few days later, he made an announcement. He called all of his wives into the room. And he brought all of his wealth into the room as well. Diamonds, gems, gold, jewels, everything that he had. And he said to all of his wives, whatever you put your hand on, anything in this room, whatever you put your hand on, that will be yours. So all of the wives, they ran and they touched everything that they could. Except the one wife that the king was giving special attention to. One wife, she put her hand on a stack of gems. One wife, she put her hand on a treasure chest. One wife put her hand on some other valuable item. And in the end, the woman who was given the most attention put her hand on nothing. So the other wives, they looked at that woman. They were shocked. They said, what kind of foolish woman is this? The king, your husband, is offering you any wealth that he has. You don't put your hand on anything. And so the king, once everybody had chosen what they had chosen, otherwise they raised this issue. They said, see, look, you're giving this woman special attention. She didn't even put her hand on anything. She doesn't even have the brain to realize what the valuable things are in this room. So then the king, he said to the wife, who had put her hand on nothing, the one who was being treated specially, why didn't you put your hand on anything? So she turned back to the king and she said, can I put my hand on anything? If I put my hand on anything, will I have that thing? He said, that's my proclamation. So she walked right up to the king, and she put her hand on the king. And she said, I want you. And then the wives realize why that was the most special wife. Because in the end, the other wives were chasing the treasure, but that wife, she chased the possessor of the treasure. Now she got the king, she has all of his treasure. She could have put her hand on one thing, she could have put her hand on another thing, but when she puts her hand on the king and chooses the king, she now owns everything that the king owns as well. And that was her wisdom. Same thing with Allah. Same concept with Allah. There's a group, Ali radiallahu anhu, famous companion, said that there's different types of worshippers. There are some people who are businessmen. They worship for the sake of a reward. But there's other people who worship for the sake of Allah. And that's what we worship for. We worship Allah. If you can connect yourself with Allah, then anything is yours. What do the treasures mean? They mean nothing. If you connect yourself with the master of the universe, the whole universe becomes yours. But if you tie yourself to creation, then whatever was created becomes yours, but you may lose the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in the end, that's what the remembrance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about. It's about connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among those who tie themselves with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that they can become worshippers of the one who sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين